Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, our subject is the Day of Judgment, where each will give an account of his works to God. Now, though the Day of Judgment and the judgment of works is very bad news for the unbelieving and the impenitent, it is exceedingly good news for those who trust in Christ. And that's our subject for today. How this message of Christ about the Day of Judgment is in fact glad tidings and good news for the believing Christian. The first reason why this is good news is because the judge of all humankind is the one whom we receive as Savior. The one who will judge everyone is the one who came into the world, suffered, bled, and died upon the cross for the salvation of the world, rose again from the dead, and commanded that the good news of his saving work should be preached in all the world so that whoever believes it may have everlasting life. And this, my friends, is the one who will judge. And so, it is good news for us who believe that the judge is our Savior. The second thing is this. The first thing that happens in this text, when Jesus sits down on his throne of glory, the first thing is he separates the sheep from the goats. Before he says a word in regard to anyone's works, he makes a clear distinction between those who belong to him and those who do not belong to him. And so the word tells us here that he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, that is the hand of favor and honor. All right? So before anything else is done, the believers are separated away from the unbelievers, and they are placed in a position of favor and honor. That's the right hand. Okay? But, it says, the goats on the left hand. The sheep represent the believers. The goats represent the unbelievers, and they are in the hand of disfavor and dishonor, the left hand. All right? So, good news number two is that before a word is mentioned about anyone's works, the believers are shown that they have a position of favor and honor with the King, who is also their Savior. All right, you got to follow this here, because it's very easy to misunderstand this parable and turn it into works righteousness. All right, then the next thing is this: before a word is said to the believers about their works, the first word out of Christ's mouth is this: come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now that's a wonderful statement. First of all, the judge says to the elect, says to the believing children of God who stand at the side of his favor, he says a word of welcome and invitation. And he calls them the blessed of my Father. And says that they are to enter into and inherit the kingdom that was specifically prepared for them from the foundation of the world. You see, before God created the world, he already decreed that Christ would be the Savior of sinners. And he also created an eternal kingdom of glory for the righteous and the elect to inherit as the blessed of Christ's Father. So, let's make sure we know where we are here. Number one, it is the Savior who died for us who will be our judge on that day. That's good news for the Christian, right? It's not good news for the unbeliever because it shows that they spurned the Lord through their whole life and now are getting their comeuppance. The second thing is that the believers are separated from the unbelievers and placed at the hand of favor and exaltation, whereas the unbelievers are placed at the hand of disfavor and bad tidings. All right? So here, once again, we see good news for the believer. And the third thing is that the believers are graciously welcomed into the kingdom of glory, and they are called the blessed of my Father. What happens with regard to the wicked? The first word that Jesus the King says to the wicked are this: depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice this, that hell was never created for human beings. It was created as the receptacle for the devil and his angels. That's why God made hell, for the devil and his angels. But because sinful mankind has persisted in his impenitence, persisted in unbelief, and persisted in sin, therefore they are eternally consigned to a place that was never even created for them in the first place. Because all of God's care and concern is to save the sinner. And so if a sinner refuses to be saved, they have but one abode, the same abode that was prepared for the devil and his angels. All right. Now, number three, number four actually, and this is most comforting, I think, of all the words so far. And that is that after Jesus welcomes the elect into the kingdom of glory, he commends them for their good works in connection with Christ and Christ's church. All right? He doesn't bring up one sin. He only talks about the good works that the Christians did with respect to one another while they were living in this world. He says, I was hungry and you gave me meat, thirsty, you gave me drink, stranger, you took me in, naked and you clothed me, etc., etc. They say, when did we do this to you, Lord? And he says, now listen, because if you don't understand this phrase, you'll miss the boat on this whole parable. He says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Alright? What does that mean? It means that when a person stands in solidarity with the Christian church and helps and comes to the aid of his fellow Christians, he is coming to the aid of Christ himself, because the church is the body of Christ over which he is the head. Therefore, whatever we do with respect to the church of Christ, we do to Christ. And when Jesus says here, one of the least of these my brethren, he's not talking about the ordinary man on the street. They are not Christ's brethren. Christ's brethren are the Christian believers. And so, what have you done with respect to Christ and his church? And here, the righteous are shown as standing in solidarity with the church of Christ and the people of God. And this is important because there is a teaching in Scripture that is often neglected. And that teaching is this: your works testify to the presence of saving faith in your heart. All right? You are saved by faith alone, without works. But saving faith, when it exists in your heart, it will produce fruit. That is, it will result in certain kinds of action. And those actions that you do, they do not merit salvation, but they demonstrate and they testify to the presence of saving faith in your hearts. So when Jesus talks about the good works that Christians did with respect to other Christians, he is showing us, therefore, that on the day of judgment, we will not be judged with respect to our sins. We will be judged with respect to our good works alone. And our good works will be judged as works that testify that we have true and saving faith, and that is why we are among the blessed of the Father. Well, what happens to our sins? They have already been dealt with. Listen, your sins have been dealt with on the cross of Calvary. And when you were baptized, your sins were washed away. And when you believe in the forgiveness of sins according to the gospel, your heart is perpetually, by faith, cleansed of sin and established in God's grace and righteousness. And when you come to the Lord's table and receive the body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for you on Calvary for the remission of your sins, when you come to eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, you are receiving forgiveness, life, and salvation in the sacrament from Christ himself for the strengthening of your faith. And therefore, your sins, though they are many, they are covered, they are forgiven, they are released, they are sent away, and you stand before God in your baptismal glory as a holy saint of God. Your sins have already been dealt with. God would have to break His promises if He were to bring up your sins on the day of judgment. So far as He removed your sins from you, as far as the east is from the west, even further, if you could imagine that, He has cast them into the sea of His forgetfulness. And therefore, when the day of judgment comes, you need not be concerned or have fear that your sins will be brought up. Now, you will be commended for your good works of service to the Lord, and you will be saved by grace through faith alone and enter into the kingdom prepared for you. Now, let me say one more word here and then I'm done. The plight of the wicked here, all right? I was naked, hungry, thirsty, and you did not minister to me. And they say, when? And Jesus says, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, pointing to the sheep, pointing to the righteous, you did it not to me. And so the unbelief of the wicked is demonstrated and it testifies itself by the rejection of Christ and His church. All right? When the wicked, the unbelievers, stand in opposition to the church, stand at a distance from the church, and let the church flounder in the world, that shows their unbelief and demonstrates it. And on the day of judgment, nothing will be remembered but their sin. Because all the works of the wicked are sin. Now, saying that, this moves us to avoid falling into two sins. One is the sin of carnal security. That is, taking God's grace for granted and becoming indifferent to it. Just assuming casually that you are in the grace of God and forgetting to be vigilant, forgetting to be penitent, forgetting to be zealous for the Lord. Carnal security means you take the Lord's gospel for granted and you begin to live in a careless way until you gradually backslide and fall away from the Lord. This is called carnal security. And the second sin which we ought to be warned about here is when professing Christians continue to live in sin against the commandments of God. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. When a professing Christian continues in violation of the commandments without alarm and without repentance, this is allowing sin to dominate in our life. This means to turn away from the Lord and to crucify the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. So, on the one hand, we want to avoid the danger of carnal security. And we want to avoid the danger of falling back into our sins and putting ourselves under God's judgment. But most especially today, we are to rejoice that by God's grace alone in Christ, we are among those who confess that the judge is our Redeemer. And we are among those who look forward to being separated from the unbelievers and honored. And we look forward to the gracious welcome of Jesus into the kingdom of glory. And we look forward to being commended and to being rewarded for the good works that we have done in support of and in solidarity with Christ and His church. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.